Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of Filibuster here on the Nerd Party Network. Welcome to podcasts about A24, Doctor Who, Harry Potter, Star Wars, much more, and especially SETI Alpha 3, one to check out in the coming weeks. With Star Trek Picard launching, it's definitely going to be one of the best Star Trek podcasts to follow online. So this episode drops today on January 24th, the same day as Star Trek Picard arrives on Amazon Prime in the UK, and one day after it warped into CBS All Access in America. Last week I was lucky enough to attend the European premiere of Star Trek Picard in Leicester Square and enjoy the opening to this new Star Trek series on the big screen. But also I got the opportunity to pose questions to the cast and crew and a special guest on the red carpet ahead of the screening. In this episode, we're joined by Jerry Ryan, Michelle Hurd, Issa Bryans, Jonathan DeLarco, Michael Chabon, Kristen Beyer and Jason Isaacs. First up, I'm joined by Jerry Ryan, who returns to the iconic role of Seven of Nine.
Jerry, what was that phone call like when they call you up to say we want you to come back? Was it one of excitement, nerves, get lost? How did you feel?
My experience was a little different. I heard about this first 2 years ago at the Hollywood Bowl, drinking champagne with a friend of mine, as we do in the summers. And about two or three glasses into the evening, he decided to say, okay, here's what I'm thinking. I want to bring Seven back. And I laughed and said, you know, it's funny, it's really funny. And he said, no, I'm serious, here's what I'm thinking. And he pitched me sort of the ideas that they were thinking of what she would be like now. And it was honestly really intriguing. But I didn't think anything was going to come of it because people pitch ideas in Hollywood all the time and nothing happens. Cut to Creative Arts Emmys last year. I'm lined up backstage to go on for Star Trek to get an award. I'm behind Alex Kurtzman. And he said, oh yeah, I understand you talked to James. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about Seven in the writer's room. I was like, you're actually doing this? I had no idea. So, it's pretty cool.
Hey, Bush, thanks. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Michelle Hurd joins the Star Trek franchise as a former Starfleet officer, Raffi, who works alongside Admiral Picard during the Romulan supernova crisis, and years later, the events of Star Trek Picard brings them back together.
How does it feel to join a lineage of multiracial characters, you know, Nichelle Nichols, so many other great names? How does it feel to be part of that legacy of a Star Trek and kind of this, you know, diversity that Star Trek's so proud of?
Well, when I got this job, I'm biracial. My father is black man, my mother's white. He was an actor, and when we were growing up, it was really important for him that there's three girls in the family, that his daughters would see themselves represented. The only show that my family would sit down and watch was Star Trek.
That's amazing.
The first interracial kiss was on Star Trek. As a biracial child, that was the first time I got to see someone telling the story of my parents, the first time. And when I got this job and I had that flashback, I didn't realize how important that moment, that scene, seeing that kind of inclusion was to a child. So all I can think of now in this moment, when I think of Issa Briones and myself, Eurasian, biracial, we're creating that mirror for all these other children that may not have seen themselves. I mean, it's a huge, amazing responsibility. I love Star Trek that it has always done that. It's always been about diversity. It's always been about inclusion. And not sort of saying like, oh, you know, you can be black because we're in Africa. It's the world. So yes, I love that you asked that question because it literally is one of the major things that I'm so excited and so honored that I get to do for some other little curly-haired beige monster.
So thank you very much and welcome to the Star Trek family.
Thank you.
Issa Bryans is the mysterious Daj, a young woman who seeks Picard's help.
How does it feel to be cast in such a mysterious role that you can't talk about, no one has a clue about? How does it feel to be there? What's the pros and cons of that for you?
Well, as much as it's driving everyone else crazy that I can't talk about it, it's driving me just as crazy because I wish I could talk about this amazing character. But, I mean, the cool thing is that we get to what I love is that the show is not being dropped all at once. It gets to be revealed, so people get to get a very exciting slow reveal of what this mysterious girl is, who she could possibly be, and what is she up to.
Did you enjoy all the speculation about your character? Did you dip into that and take a look?
I haven't looked, but my friends and family have told me, and they're like telling me all the theories, and it's fun to sit there and be like, oh, that person's onto it, oh, that person's way off. Oh,
so
that
people have guessed it. Some people have guessed it.
You know, some people are on the straight path. That's all I'll say.
Were you a fan of science fiction as a kid? Did you grow up watching Star Trek?
I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't grow up watching Star Trek, and I am kicking myself about it because going back, once I got the show, I went back, and since there's so many seasons of Next Generation, I was like, okay, first we'll just pop around to like the episodes that pertain to my character. I was like reading the descriptions of everything, and then I got to a certain point, season 4, and I just got hooked, and I just kept watching, and have become a much bigger fan than I ever knew I was going to be.
Did it make it slightly less daunting interviewing for the role before you knew how iconic the series was?
Well, the thing is, you always know that Star Trek is this iconic series. It's, even if you haven't watched it, you are aware of that because, I mean, Trekkies invented fandom. You know that is what you're getting yourself into, but the amazing thing is getting to meet the fans and getting to see just how much love is there. That's like the only word I can use to describe it, because everyone has, they don't know what our characters are. They've never met us, but they still are giving us so much love and support already without even knowing who we are.
The main feature in the series, I just wonder, what do you make of our relationship with technology? Because in the series, of course, it deals with ones sort of disconnected from the cube, like the cubes. How do you think we are dealing with our sort of relationship with technology?
Well, I think what's so great about Star Trek in general and this show is showing that the dynamic of here's the pros, here are the cons, let's let you decide, see where you lie, because obviously we've seen with the Borg cube that technology can be really dangerous. Technology can take a turn on us, but we've also seen the pros, we've seen the data, we've seen it, and so it's really what the show does is present all the ideas to you and goes, you decide.
What were the highlights of your experience shooting Star Trek along with like new characters, old characters? What have been the highlights for you?
I think anytime all of us were working together, like Michelle, Allison, Santiago, and Patrick, when we were all there, those are always my favorite days on set. We've gotten so close over the course of filming, and it's really become a family. And we goof off way too much and have far too much fun, but it makes going to work not work.
Perfect. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jonathan DeLarco, last seen in TNG Season 7, is back again as Hugh.
Jonathan, welcome back. I watched Descent Part 2 again earlier, and it ended on a note of, I wonder what will happen next, where you will go, maybe there's already a leader. How did it feel decades later to receive this phone call to pose what's going to happen next to that character?
I actually, it wasn't a call, it was over drinks with a friend at a concert. But I was in disbelief, honestly, that it would ever happen. But when it did, I was very, very happy. Very, very excited. And, of course, the day I got to reunite with Patrick with Picard, it was a very emotional moment, you know, to get to see the two characters to meet back up again after that last, we hadn't seen each other since that last moment. He said, I think you were a leader, right? So
it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Series creators Michael Chabon and Kristen Beyer talk with me about the making of the latest Star Trek series.
Hi there, Michael, absolute pleasure to talk with you. is it a bittersweet or excited feeling? You've done the first season, you're moving on in the second one to be here at the premiere, and
it's just exciting, and I mean it's a relief actually to finally get to this point. We've been working on this, Kirsten Meyer, and other producers and writers on the show. It's been a long journey for us, even longer than it has for any of the actors right now, except maybe Patrick. And to be here tonight is just, it's exciting though that people are going to get a chance to see it.
And for yourself, you've written books, you've got a huge involvement with Star Trek. What's it like to be here at the premiere of an event, one that you've been able to put your hands on so early on?
Surreal, you imagine a moment like this, but you never let yourself think it could actually happen. I'm still not sure it's happening. You know, it's incredible.
What's it like to create a Star Trek series from the ground up?
So much fun. Yeah. So much fun. It's just
we call it work, but we call it,
exactly.
We're really playing.
I mean, we love this stuff, and just sitting down at the keyboard, typing the words, they step onto the transporter pad and dematerialize or whatever. Just like, I can't believe I get to type those words.
How does your literary background kind of prepare you for TV writing? Is it quite the crossover, or is it more challenging writing novels, perhaps?
I think the fact that storytelling is serialized now means that as novelists, we're sort of really well prepared to tackle stories of that scope.
Yeah, but the collaborative part of it is what's the big difference. You know, when you're writing a book, you sit by yourself in a room with the door shut in your pajamas.
Yeah.
And, nobody really cares if you show up for work that day. And, with this, we're all in it together. We're obligated to each other. And also, we have a lot of fun. It's a nice change. I've been writing books for a long time. All by myself. Kirsten and Akiva and Alex and everybody else.
Was there anything you couldn't be too precious about that you maybe wrote in sort of these Voyager relaunch novels that might get moved on or changed around in sort of the TV series, or was it all quite fluid for you?
Well, I think all of that had to be let go, right? We've created this wonderful, brilliant, rich universe in this one aspect of it, and now we had to be free to start over and do whatever we wanted to, and that was easy to embrace.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Finally, Jason Isaacs, best known to Trek fans as Captain Gabriel Lorca in Star Trek Discovery, was supporting the latest show by turning up for the premiere. We had a quick chat with him too.
Hello, Jason. How does it feel to be here at the premiere of Star Trek Picard?
Well, I'm warmer than you because you're shivering while I'm talking to you. You've been standing here longer than me. It's exciting. I'm mostly excited to see the show. The rest of this stuff is fun going in, but I've got friends who work on it, obviously, and friends who directed it, and they told me it's something very special that Patrick's doing.
How do you look back on your experience on Star Trek Discovery? You've had a few years away from it now. You still seem as passionate about it all these years on.
Stories are powerful, and the genesis and the point of the whole thing is to hold a mirror up to mankind and show is that we could do better, that we should do better. And these are increasingly dark times. We need those messages.
So it's been a great advocate
for the show, and I think it's an important show. It can regenerate forever because it's telling us to aspire.
Absolutely.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.